From high atop the Camelback Towers in Scottsdale, from the Star Worldwide Network Studios, this is Checking In with Check for a Lump. Arizona's prominent breast cancer nonprofit, providing free education, mammograms, wigs, and support. Now, let's check in with Check for a Lump.
Hello, I am Holly Rose, the founder and CEO of Check for a Lump. We are here checking in with Check for a Lump, and I'm here with my co-host, Ashley Plum. How are you today, Ashley?
Doing great. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I am too, and I'm very excited. Our topic today, we are talking about the pink path.
Absolutely, and we're going to do a back and forth talking about the different things along your pink path.
Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy journey. Before we jump into our pink path, I want to thank our annual title sponsors who make this podcast possible. The Arizona Center for Reconstructive Breast Surgery, Cancer and Blood Specialists of Arizona, Cigna, Harvest Trulieve, The Mint, Pfizer, Sonora Quest Laboratories. We appreciate your support so we can help educate and outreach to our breast cancer community. So yeah, going back to the pink path, Ashley, what were your thoughts when you were first told that you had breast cancer?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing is that, you know, it's like, oh no, what is this? Why is there a marble where it shouldn't be inside my breast? So, you know, the big thing I think we need to remind women is don't panic.
Yes.
You know, we need to go through the steps. We need to go to our OBGYN.
Definitely. I think once I was diagnosed, it took 2 weeks before someone told me, Holly, this is not a death sentence. And so had I had that information instantly when I found the lump, I would have been much calmer knowing this may not be a death sentence.
Yeah, I think I was lucky in the fact that, unfortunately, I have known several friends and relatives that have had breast cancer and are on the other side and are strong, surviving, and are, you know, cancer free. So I knew, you know, from the beginning that I would be okay. I'm stubborn and I'm like, nope, I'm going to beat this. So
what did you do when you found the lump? What were your initial thoughts?
First thing was I need to call my OBGYN and let them know and find out, okay, what do I do next?
Yep, that's exactly what I did. First thing in the morning, I knew this is not good and I need to go in. So I scheduled my OBGYN as well. And then I think I called every single girlfriend who they didn't tell me this isn't a death sentence, but they said, Holly, 80% of lumps are benign. You know, go get it checked out, but 80% are benign.
That's really great information, especially for, you know, our listeners to hear that it's, you know, they could find a lump and it could be nothing.
Yes, but you still need to go get it checked out.
Absolutely. Do not wait. Yes, go get it checked.
It could be something. So I went and got my mammogram. And then after my mammogram, they immediately scheduled me for a diagnostic mammogram. Was that your track as well?
I just went straight into diagnostic mammogram and then had an ultrasound right after that.
And did you have multiple tests when you had your ultrasound? What did you have to do following that?
Just the ultrasound, and then I went to the breast surgeon, and she did a biopsy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I took a different path, and there's many paths to take along mm-hmm. the way, depending on what type of cancer, what stage they think it is, if they think this may not be cancer. So I went in for my diagnostic mammogram, and then I had an ultrasound, and an ultrasound is it uses sound waves and to make a computer image of the internal breast, which I think is very interesting. I remember looking at the ultrasound like, what is that? Is that good? Is that bad? I'm not so sure. What happened when you had your biopsy?
So the biopsy type that I had was an ultrasound-guided biopsy. So they used an ultrasound machine and to guide the needle into the tumor, I mean, to see if it was, you know, a benign or if it was What's the other word?
Cancerous.
Cancerous.
Malignant. That's the big C word.
So they had to go in and do that. And then they sent the biopsy results, you know, out to be tested to see what, if it was cancerous or if it was benign, and if it was cancerous, what type of cancer it was.
Did you also do an MRI like I did, a magnetic resonance imaging?
Yes, I did do an MRI. I did the MRI after I did the biopsy, though. Honestly, that was a while ago, and it was kind of a whirlwind of appointments. I don't know if I remember the reasoning behind why I did the MRI after the biopsy, but that was just the order that I went in.
You know, looking back, having had all of these different tests, I do remember when I walked out of my diagnostic mammogram, the doctor told me, from what he saw, you have a very long, hard road ahead of you, and what I see is not very good. And I walked out of the doctor's office without a piece of paper, without a phone number, without a path. What do I do next? And I had no idea. I went home to my husband and sobbed, and he said, "What do we do?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that having this information and us having this pink path for women is so important because, you know, had I looked at something like this, okay, I don't need to panic. It's not a death sentence. And then, okay, yeah. Here's my steps. I need to go to an OBGYN. I need to get this test and this test and this test. And, you know, there's the path right in front of me.
Right, exactly. And I want to go touch back on the ultrasound thing, because having an ultrasound after having your screening and diagnostic mammogram can help detect if the mass is solid or if it's filled with fluid, such as a non-cancerous cyst. And it can also be used to determine the size and composition of the surrounding tissues. So that's very helpful for the doctors to help figure out, do we need to biopsy this or do we not need to biopsy this?
I agree. And I'm going to backtrack right with you. A step prior is the screening mammogram. When you go in for your screening, you always want to ask them, is this a 2D or 3D imaging? So the difference between that, if you think about 2D, and imagine a book. When you're looking at 2D, you're looking at the front cover and the back cover, and those are the images that you're going to receive and the images that a radiologist are going to look at. If you're doing a 3D, you are essentially looking at the front page, and then you're flipping through every other page through that book and the back cover. So they're getting a comprehensive look at the inside of your breasts, and it will help determine should we move forward for additional testing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And part of, you know, getting your mammogram is, and something that's, you know, good to know, and this is more common in younger women, is if they have dense breasts. Because, you know, and then having the ultrasound, after, if there's something suspicious that they want to look at on the mammogram, you know, having the ultrasound helps be able to see that better, because the dense breast tissue can be thicker.
And having dense breasts increases mm-hmm. your risk of breast cancer. And the only way to find out you have dense breasts is to have a mammogram.
Yes. So, you know, as we've talked about before, you know, you got to speak with your physician and, you know, and check and see, you know, when is the right time for you to have your first mammogram. But, you know, today, of course, we're talking about, I found a lump, so now what do I do?
Yes. The other thing I would like to throw out there is a lot of women in our community don't have insurance, or they're underinsured, and they have to cover the cost of their own mammogram, and that could be expensive. There are so many working women out there who, maybe they have four children, and the $150 mammogram could be their grocery bill for that week, or it's going to pay for their mammogram.
Exactly. And that's why Check for a Lump is here, to help cover that cost.
Yes.
We pay for that, you know, full mammogram for that woman who is in need.
We We do. You can go to our website, checkforalump.org, click on mammograms. You can fill out our application. It's a simple process, or you can attend one of our mobile events. And very easy, we will cover the cost of your mammogram. If you need additional diagnostic testing, we will cover all tests up to the point of diagnosis. And Ashley, I know you're fielding phone calls all the time in the office. So what does the application look like, and how do you help guide them?
Yeah, so when we get a phone call for somebody who is in need of a mammogram, the first questions we ask are you having symptoms? I think that's, you know, one of the key questions is, because if they are having symptoms, we need to make sure that they get a doctor's order. And, you know, if they don't have a doctor, primary care, an OBGYN, then we have resources to connect them with a physician that can help write the script for the diagnostic mammogram for their symptoms. And then they would go online to our website, checkforalump.org, and go under the free mammogram program. And option one is the getting a mammogram through like a brick and mortar facility, an imaging facility. And they would go in there and you know, get their mammogram, and then go from there and follow up with their doctor. Now, if they are not having symptoms, they can use the same process of applying on our website and to get their annual mammogram, their annual screening mammogram, or they can go to one of our mobile events. And the mobile events is only for screening mammograms. You can't have any symptoms, and you need to be at least 35 years of age to attend one of our mobile screening events. So it just kind of depends on what works with their schedule.
Yep. So the mobile units, you do not need to have a doctor's order. You just need to have a doctor that you are connected to, that you have seen prior with a name and phone number. So if you do need additional follow-up, there is a doctor there who can help guide you. And of course, Check for a Lump is always here to help guide you as well. You can give us a call, 602-688-5232, or hit our website, checkforalump.org, and hit contact, and we will always be there for you. So I think that is there anything along the path of I've discovered a lump in my breast that we want to talk about before we after we take a break, move on to I have been diagnosed path?
I'm trying to think if there is anything else.
I know what we need to talk about is it's not just a lump. So there are many symptoms. When many women think it's just a lump, well, it's pain, it's redness, it's having an inverted nipple, discharge from the nipple, a rash, and one breast getting larger than the other breast, and your armpits as well. This is the first place that cancer travels to. So checking your armpits, checking your collarbone as well. So anything that's abnormal. So important to be breast aware. And that means looking at your breast, feeling your breast, checking for any abnormalities. And if there is anything that you're like, oh, that wasn't there, that's something to be concerned about, and you want to follow it. And if it doesn't go away within a week, I would contact your doctor and definitely get followed up. If you don't have a doctor, contact us, and we will try and help direct you to a resource that is either free or sliding scale or another local resource.
Yeah, that's great information.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to take a little break here, and we are going to rock out. Today, we are so honored to have Fireside Anthem, who was formerly Punk Daddy. So the singer of Fireside Anthem is Brett Stewart, who just so happened he has produced our Pink Out 5K for the past 5 years. He is an awesome supporter. So we want to thank Fireside Anthem for sharing their awesome, awesome music with us. Check out their schedule online. They're playing live around town. So you can find them on SoundCloud under their former name, punk-daddy.az. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram, Fireside Anthem. So here we go. Let's rock out with Fireside Anthem.
Will you catch me if I fall in your line? Grab me, hurt myself again. I need you now more than I ever did before. When I don't think I can find the words, I do express my gratitude for being there in my time of need. Let's go. When you look at me, I will meet you when I'll be seeing at first sight. And to tell you the truth, won't forget you until the end of time. Don't you forget me, girl. I won't forget you. Why will be yours until the end of time? Don't you forget me, girl. Why won't forget you. Why will be yours until the end of time? Another day passes by and I don't know why you're not right by my side. Why, well, guess that's the way things are gonna be this time. But I regret to accept the consequences of my actions, cause I have paid off all my debts fully. Don't you forget me, girl. I won't forget you. Why will be different to the end of time?
Are back. Woohoo! That was awesome. Thank you so much, Fireside Anthem, for sharing your musical talent with us. We appreciate you. And we're here today. We've been talking about the pink path. You have found a lump. And what are those next steps that you were going to take? And now we are going to talk about what that path looks like once you have been diagnosed. So I'm here with my co-host, Ashley Plum, who is our director of development. So Ashley, you wanna tiptoe us down this wonderful pink path? I guess I shouldn't say wonderful, but it is pink, and we got a path to go through here.
It is. And, you know, and the key here is, you know, what I'm going to tell anybody going through a diagnosis is you're not alone. There are many doctors, many friends, many family, many strangers that you don't know yet that are going to be your support network and help you through this pink path on your way to recovery and on your way to through breast cancer.
I was going to just jump in and say I totally agree. You almost form a whole new family around breast cancer, from your doctors to the nurses to local nonprofits like us who helped guide you. You find a new, beautiful family. And the other thing that is super important is if someone tells you you have breast cancer, don't panic.
Exactly.
At this stage, it is not a death sentence like it used to be in the 1970s. The treatment was so much different. The resources and support, so much different. Today, if you find it in the early stages, you have close to 100% chance of surviving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, when you first get diagnosed, you're going to end up at a breast surgeon. And a breast surgeon's goal is to remove any cancerous tissue from your breast. And this is done through either lumpectomy or mastectomy. The treatment depends on the type and stage of your cancer. And your breast surgeon is going to be the one to discuss a lot of the different options that you have. for your surgery to remove that lump, and if it's even necessary.
I agree. My breast surgeon, I just absolutely adore, and Dr. Zanis, and I'm happy to share that he is now one of our annual sponsors, Comprehensive Breast Centers of Arizona. He is part of that group, and their team of doctors are incredible. Dr. Gunya, one of their partners, is also on our board. So we are very, very lucky to have relationships with the top surgeons in the state of Arizona.
Absolutely. And my breast surgeon is part of that practice as well.
Oh, who is your doctor?
Dr. Morthy.
Yes. And yeah. Didn't you form just a wonderful relationship?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, they're just there to be your cheerleaders and to help you get through this.
Yes, Dr. Zanis was the first person who said, Holly, this is not a death sentence. Mm-hmm. And then he would very calmly tell me, you may not have to do oncology treatment, so don't go there yet. You mm-hmm. may not have to have surgery. Don't go there yet. He definitely helped guide me.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Morthy was instrumental in guiding me through my treatment and what my options were going to be.
So what was the path? I know for many women, some will have radiation first, some will have chemotherapy, then surgery to shrink the tumor. What was your path?
So for me, I had triple negative breast cancer. So my path was chemotherapy first, followed by double mastectomy and reconstruction. So I met my medical oncologist, and we went through what treatment would look like and what kind of chemotherapy I would have and then what to expect from chemo and any other physicians that I needed to follow up with while I was going through chemo. And because of the type of chemo that I had to be followed also by a cardiologist just because of the type of chemotherapy that I received. Not everybody needs to do that. It just depends on your type of chemotherapy that the oncologist is going to use.
Yes, every woman's path is different. It is no longer a one-size-fits-all type of treatment for breast cancer. Everyone is leaning towards more precision-based treatment, which is so wonderful because they're obtaining better outcomes. And we are, again, happy to have the support of Cancer and Blood Specialists of Arizona as one of our title sponsors with some of the leading oncologists in the state of Arizona. It's great that we get their guidance to help women along the path.
Absolutely. And, the key with your medical oncologist is they are there to monitor and evaluate your progress and collaborate on your best options with all of your other medical caregivers.
Yes, and a lifelong relationship.
Absolutely.
I still see mine every 6 months.
Yes, and the bond that you have with the nurses when you're going through chemo and they're there with you every step of the way, it's really incredible.
They are incredible. So I had a lumpectomy with my breast surgeon, and then from there I had chemotherapy and I had radiation, so I didn't have to see a plastic surgeon. Having double mastectomies, did you see a plastic surgeon and do reconstruction?
I did, and one of the things that my breast surgeon had me do was meet with all of the doctors before I started treatment. So I met with my plastic surgeon before I even started treatment and to formulate a plan on what I wanted to do with my surgery, with my double mastectomy. At the time, I didn't know if I was going to have a lumpectomy, a single mastectomy, or a double mastectomy. So I met with the plastic surgeon and my breast surgeon and just really talked about all my different options. And, I jokingly say, take it all. These girls tried to kill me. Get them out. So I went with the double mastectomy because also it was best for long-term outcome of not having a reoccurrence. And my plastic surgeon really listened to what I wanted and what kind of a look I wanted, I guess you could say. post double mastectomy.
Well, I think it's wonderful. Our sponsor, Arizona Center for Reconstructive Breast Surgery, one of the partners is Dr. Gawley, and there's an article in our magazine that talks about the choices.
Absolutely.
After a diagnosis, your choices in reconstruction, many, many different options. And there have been advances made in reconstruction field, allowing patients to enjoy natural looking outcomes. Plastic surgeons can often reconstruct a woman's breast with incredible results. I have actually seen some of Dr. Gawley's breasts, and everyone says it's the Gawley girls, and they open up their chest or their shirt very proud to show me their chest of, look how amazing. And I often think, well, gosh, maybe I should have went for the double mastectomy instead of the lumpectomy. They beautiful results. Yeah. That's part of your identity as a woman, so it very is. Important.
It is, and you have to make that decision, you know, with your doctors and, you know, with your support system to help guide you along the way to figure out what's going to be the best option for me.
It's a very personal mm-hmm. choice for sure. Some women decide to go flat and
yeah,
not have reconstruction
absolutely.
At all. I don't know if I could be that brave, but more power to any woman to make that choice.
Absolutely. So you had mentioned that you had radiation treatment. I did not have radiation.
Oh,
so can you please tell us about radiation?
I did. I had a course of treatment for 6 weeks every single day. I went in for radiation, and I was so fearful of burns. You hear stories of women getting burns. So I bought that 100% aloe, and I put it on my body, I think, every single hour. I lathered up, and I was very, very grateful, then blessed that I walked out without one burn during that treatment. So I don't know if I was just lucky, but I highly recommend trying that for any women prior to going in. Just always lather up, and hopefully women will have the same outcome as me. And the biggest side effect for me was the fatigue. Oh my goodness, it was very tiring.
But I've heard that from other breast cancer survivors, that it's the fatigue.
Yes, but it's in the end, you're alive.
Exactly.
You are alive.
Exactly.
My sister-in-law told me, Holly, this is all going to be a blip in your life. You're going to look back in a few years and you're going to realize it was a blip. Mm-hmm. And I'm now looking back 14 years and whoo! That was a crazy blip, but
it was
long, long behind me.
Yes, exactly. So the radiation oncologist, just to kind of give some technical terms out there, your radiation oncologist uses ionizing radiation, such as megavoltage X-rays or radionuclides in the treatment of cancer.
Yes,
so those are big words.
You feel a little bit like you were in the twilight zone. Those big words are essentially just a little beam that crosses across the room and then lands on your breast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you can't move. You've got, you're locked in. I have tattoos, I got my first tattoos because of radiation. They marked my armpit, the middle of my chest, and my other armpit, so that they could ensure that I was in the exact same position every single time.
Ah, so that's what those tattoos are for. So, and they're not like a standard tattoo. You don't go to a tattoo parlor to get one
of those.
Well,
they're standard tattoos.
Well, they are standard tattoo, but you don't go to a tattoo parlor to get them. Your doctor does those.
No, I don't get that glory.
Just wanted to make sure we were clear on that one. For some women, they might want to take a more natural path to breast cancer treatment. So
yeah,
there's naturopathic oncologists out there.
They are fabulous, and they help you achieve a safe and effective combination of natural therapies and conventional treatments. They help you reduce side effects from oncology treatment, as well as restore health and vitality and completion of cancer treatments. They also provide anti-cancer treatments when conventional treatments fail and are not an option for you. So they are a great adjunct therapy, and I highly recommend. They can really help to reduce some of those side effects of oncology.
Yeah, that's great information. You know, hindsight is always 20/20, and I think if I had known about the naturopathic oncology to help with the side effects of my traditional oncology, that I probably would have seen one.
I agree. And hindsight as well, I would have sought out counseling services.
Yes.
I did not realize until I would say 6 months after cancer, my whole family dove into deep depression. And when my husband and I sought out counseling, we realized how depressed we were due to the very, very stressful 9 months of treatment. And we also realized how depressed our children were. It really impacted them, and they needed counseling services. And I wish I would have been able to do that earlier, looking back.
Yeah, absolutely. I know my daughter went through therapy as well. So that way, you know, to help deal with all of the crap, the drama, the stuff that you have to go through, not just as the survivor, but as the co-survivors, the caregivers, the people that are in your life daily that also need that support.
They definitely need that support. And that's where we come in with our support groups. We have our Super Survivors Unite that meet every single month. And we just provide a fun activity to connect and lift you up and provide hope. And hopefully you will meet other survivors and caregivers in that room that you can then have support outside of our meeting. It's a great place to connect.
Absolutely. And we always do different fun activities, from painting to tie-dye t-shirts to beauty products, safe, non-toxic beauty products.
Yeah.
All sorts of fun, different things.
We always make it fun. The other support that we have is our Super Survivor Kits. Any survivor in the state of Arizona can go onto our website, request a kit, and we will either hand deliver or mail one out to you. You can request for your friend who's going through breast cancer. We also, outside of the state of Arizona, you can purchase one for a survivor, and we will mail it. And we do the costs just so that we can cover our mailing costs and the costs of the kits and the costs of the kits.
Yes. All of the wonderful things that go into the kits. It's comfort items, it's non-toxic products, and, you know, just some activities to do, you know, for the woman who is going through treatment.
So, were there any doctors that you saw that outside of this that you wouldn't think, oh, I should go there?
The big one for me was the cardiologist, like I mentioned earlier, but to monitor, to make sure that the ticker was still going strong and not having any adverse side effects from the chemotherapy. So I think, you know, make sure you ask your oncologist, is there a need for me to see a cardiologist for the type of chemotherapy that I'm getting?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
How about you?
Advice. Well, I saw a physical therapist because I had all of the lymph nodes taken out of my armpit. I did physical therapy because I was so worried about getting lymphedema. That is one of the side effects of having your lymph nodes removed. And so I did some physical therapy. I learned some techniques of massage to help alleviate any of that pressure so it would never expand. And I, again, have been blessed that it has never gotten very bad.
That's great. Yeah, I've heard a lot of women go to PT. You know, PT stands for physical therapy or physical therapist. And, you know, it's an important part of rehabilitation and treatment and prevention of patients with chronic conditions, illnesses, or injuries. You know, research shows that physical exercise and activity are key factors in breast cancer survivors regaining vitality and returning to optimal health. You know, so it's very important for, you know, making sure that you are active. And sometimes after your surgeries, after your treatments, you need a little extra help along the way to get back into your optimal health, to get back into your regular exercise routine, or to start a new exercise routine. So you need to go to PT to get that little extra kick start.
Yes. And again, your team is so important. Your team is going to become your family and lifelong family members. For me, I see all of my doctors still. So such a great group of
supporters and, you know, doctors out there. You know, you've got this whole network. Use it.
Yes, and you can find all of this information in our magazine. You can go onto our website, click on Education, Free Magazines, and you can request a magazine, and we can mail one out to you. We can mail you one. We can mail you 50. We can mail you 1,000. However many you want, we are love to put this information out there. You can also read our magazine online. Just click on the digital copy. It is available in English, and in March, it will be available in Spanish as well. So you can find all of this information on our website. You can also contact us. We're happy to help guide you along this pink path. It doesn't have to be scary. It can,
exactly.
It can be a beautiful path.
Absolutely. There's, you know, four of us on our staff that have been through this path, and that we are there to help and guide you and give you some little bit of advice and share resources for additional information that you might need.
And hope. We are all
absolutely
here. We all survived with our incredible network and yep team of doctors. So there is hope. Breast cancer is not a death sentence. Catching it early is so very important. So I think that it is time to wrap up, and we're going to end with our Check for a Lump quiz. So we want to ask you today, what do you think the 5-year survival rate is for breast cancer? Is it 50%? Is it 75%? Is it 100%? Ashley, what do you think that answer is?
It is 90.6% survival rate.
Woohoo! And where is this data coming from?
This data is coming from the National Cancer Institute SEER data.
They have incredible data. That is in our magazine as well. You can look up through their data new cases, death rates. You can look up the percentage of cases and 5-year survival rates by stage of diagnosis. And really invaluable information. Empower yourself with as much knowledge as you can.
Absolutely.
Step up to prevention.
Absolutely. And they have in there about the ethnicity too. So if you're curious about that.
Yes. So thank you so much for sharing your time with us, for checking in with Check for a Lump. I want to shout out to our annual title sponsors again for helping to make this possible. The Arizona Center for Reconstructive Breast Surgery, Cancer and Blood Specialists of Arizona, Cigna, Harvest Trueleaf, The Mint, Pfizer, and Sonora Quest Laboratories. And most of all, I want to thank Ashley Plum for joining me today.
Thank you, Holly. Always great to be here with you.
Yeah, thanks for checking in with Check for a Lump.